We've come to Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll read the first verse to us. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded Israel. We will not read the whole chapter, but here we see the beginning, or the title that we could give this message is Ezra opens the word of the Lord. Ezra opens the book of the law of Moses. And the people had gathered. This was the first day of the seventh month, and it's called the Feast of Trumpets, or the Sabbath day. It is a day set aside for the Lord, a day set aside for rest. It's a sacred assembly, and it's a holy gathering. And many of the commentaries say, surely this was the first public Bible reading, the beginning of a revival of religion, or a revival began at this time. And it's worthy to note that the people were hungry for the Word of God. And these Jews, they stood in the open space from early morning till noonday, listening to the Word of God. The hot sun was, midday sun was upon them, yet they held their ground. They stood in their place, and they attentively listened to the Word of God. What reverence they had for the Word of God. When Ezra opened the book, all the people stood up in reverence. And this is holy worship. They blessed the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen. They were in full agreement, so be it, so be it. And this is an example to us today, to hunger for the Word of God, to be in full agreement with the Word of God, to bless the Lord. And this is clearly, they did not only read the Word, because they had built this platform, and on the platform were the Levites, and the Ezra and Nehemiah, the governor, and all the Levites, or some of the Levites. And these Levites expounded the Word of God. The Word of God was clearly taught, and they gave the sense, and the Word of God was understood by the people. And because the Word of God was understood, there was great searching of heart, and the people wept when they heard the words of the law. This is something like the breath of revival. This is something like, it's a wonderful work of God. We notice the very important fact here that when God works and true revival comes, the Word of God is always associated and involved with the work. The Word of God is always involved. And it's one of God's chosen instruments of revival, the Word. It happened in the open air, it happened in the street, because there were thousands upon thousands of people. The temple that had been rebuilt would have been too small to host all the people. The revival, it was a revival. They were returning to their roots. It happened in the street. It happened in the open place. Now, this congregation that gathered, they literally hungered for the Word of God. And all of the writers say, what a delightful privilege to minister as a pastor, to such a people who are hungering for the word of God. And this is one of the keys to revival, hunger for the word of God. And it was a feast of thanksgiving to the Lord. And they were grateful. They were thankful because they acknowledged that only the Lord could have helped them to build and complete the wall. Only the Lord could have brought it to completion so speedily and so quickly. And they desired to give thanks to God who had helped them. And they also desired to know the God who had helped them more and more. They were eager to and prompted by this desire to know the Lord more, to hear His word more. The word of God was clearly read in an audible voice. Everyone could hear. It wasn't just read quietly. It was a public reading. It was expounded clearly. The way I mean expounded clearly, Scripture was compared with Scripture. The people could grasp a richer understanding of the knowledge of God. One of the notes that I read simply said this: reading is good, preaching is good, but expounding brings the reading and the preaching together and makes the reading more intelligible and the preaching more convincing. So they read distinctly from the book being the law of God. They gave the sense. They helped them understand the reading. That's Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. They gave the sense. In other words, they gave the people the understanding. This was the mode and the method which our Lord Jesus Christ used. He gave the sense. That means He fixed conclusively with authority in the minds of the people. They received the idea that was being communicated, and He set forth the meaning clearly. This is what our Lord did. Matthew 5, verse 21. I'll read it to you. You have heard that it was said of those of old, "You shall not murder." You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. And then He expounds and He says, "But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." So the Lord is expounding. He's bringing greater clarity to that word, "You shall not murder." This is what it means to expound, to make it clearer. The Lord also expounded scriptures concerning Himself, showing that all scripture was interconnected and interwoven. Let me read to you a portion. "And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." Luke 24, verse 27. So the Lord showed how the prophecies of old spoke about Him coming from way back, even from Moses and the prophets. And when the Lord expounded, when He spoke the scriptures, we read that on the road, the disciples said, "Did our heart not burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened the scriptures to us?" So the expounding of the scripture, opening of the scripture, causes the hearts of the hearers to burn within them. And this is what happened when Ezra read the word of God, the law of God. The Levites, they stilled the people with the words, not their own words. They didn't speak their own words, but they spoke the living word of God. And what quietness and confidence there is when there is a knowledge of the Word of God, that He cares for us. The Levites expounded the glorious truth. And they not only expounded the truth, they told the people how they might apply that truth to their lives, how they may be doers of the Word. And they either expounded on that high wooden platform, one by one after each other. But most people believe that the Levites went down amongst the people in small groups and began to expound to the many that had gathered, men, women, and children. And in small groups, they expounded to them the Word of God. The congregation, as I mentioned, was hungry, literally hungered for the Word of God. And the scripture that comes to mind is, "Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The Word of God satisfies, calms troubled hearts, grants peace in the storm. Oh, it's such a source of divine life and peace. As King David puts it, he said, "More to be desired than gold, more to be desired than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb." Psalm 19 and verse 10. Reading the scripture in a public assembly, giving time to the public reading of the scripture, is a great blessing to the people. And it's also honors God. And when people hear the scripture, they are edified and built up in the Lord. In Nehemiah's day, they weren't in a hurry to do this. As I mentioned, it was from the morning till noon. We've just seen that Ezra gave the Word of God publicly. Even when our Lord was on the earth, He gave the Word of God publicly. Remember when He was in the temple, they handed Him the scroll, and when He had come to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, He stood up to read. The Lord stood up to read. And that's Luke 4:16. And the Apostle Paul, he instructed often that his letters be read publicly. He said, "Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and likewise read the epistle from Laodicea," Colossians 4:16. And then the book of Revelation opens with these words, "Blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of this prophecy." There's a great blessing in the public reading. The public reading of Scripture was in the previous church ages considered as an essential element of Christian worship. And indeed, perhaps the most foundational element of Christian worship. And you say, why do you say it's the most foundational element of Christian worship? Because all other elements of worship, such as prayer, such as praise, such as preaching, such as even the sacraments, they come as a response to the hearing of the Word of God. So the public reading of Scripture must not be neglected. One of the other keys that we learn from Nehemiah is when instruction is given from the Word of God, there must be reverence. The Jews displayed great reverence and respect and also great spiritual hunger. And when the Word of God was opened, Nehemiah stood on that platform. He opened the Word of God in front of the people. And I've heard many pastors say it is a good idea to open a Bible in front of the congregation that they may see the authority from which you are preaching, that they may see that you are speaking from the Word of God, the book opened in front of the people, and the people reverencing the Word of God. This hunger and respect for God's Word will cause tremendous growth in the church. When the Word of God was opened, the whole congregation actually stood up. And I'm not saying that our congregations must stand, but what it is meaning is this, is they showed respect for God's Word, and they showed respect for Ezra as well. And the commentaries say, like a servant receiving instruction from their master, they don't just sit down in the master's presence. They stand up showing that they are attentive, and not only attentive, but they are willing to do what their master has commanded. So we stand up in God's, when God's word is read, and we say, Lord, I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to do. We read that all the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. All the ears were attentive to the book of the law, and with great attention and close application of mind. They thought about what they heard. Now, another very important aspect we must always hold before ourselves personally, and also those that we minister to, we must settle in our minds that this is God's holy word. It is inspired. It is holy. And they are not the words of man, but they are the words of God. It is profitable and wise to obey what God says. The scripture says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which is effectively working in those who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. So the word of God is not just an ordinary book. The word of God is inspired. The word of God is holy. His word is like a fire. His word is like a hammer which breaks the rocks into pieces. Did not the Lord say, it is more blessed, you're more blessed than even his mother, than even his brother, than even his sisters, if you hear and keep his word. We value and we keep the word of God. The word of God endures forever. It never changes. It's settled forever in heaven. This is why we have such confidence in God's word, such faith in his word, such reverence for his word. This is why we choose and obey and trust it. There's nothing that is able to provide such light for my path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and 105. This word of God must be reverenced. It is the living word of God. Then in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 9, he says, this day is holy unto the Lord. Mourn not, weep not, for the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, the law had cut them to the heart, and the law speaks of the terror, and it thunders a terrible curse. Therefore they wept, and really it was a good sign that their hearts were so tender. They wept to think that they had offended God. But now comes words of comfort and exhortation to them. Words of peace were spoken to them. Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the scribe, and all the Levites, they helped the people, and they said to them, and I'll just summarize, really what they said was, this is not a day to mourn. This is not a day to weep. This is a day, a holy day. It's a day to rejoice. We read that in Nehemiah 8 and verse 9, be not sorry. And then in 10, hold your peace, don't cry, neither be grieved. And then we are reminded that everything has its season. Everything is beautiful in its season. We must not be joyous, for example, when God calls mourning. And nor must we frighten ourselves and afflict ourselves and be down when God gives us a reason to rejoice. One of the notes that I read that spoke to my heart was, it said that even sorrow for sin must not be so excessive that it hinder our joy in God and our cheerfulness in His service. He hath turned my mourning into laughter and my desolation into joy. He hath led my captivity captive, and He has made my heart rejoice with a joy unspeakable, full of glory. This was, in Nehemiah's day, this was to be a day of gladness and festivity, a day of rejoicing in His mercies. It was not a season to weep. When you and I, or any people, when they consider Christ crucified, when they consider how Christ was mocked and despised, how He suffered and how He died, we may be tempted to be sad and weep, but we must think of the victory of the cross, what was accomplished by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, what was obtained for us. No, it's not a time to weep. It's a time that we rejoice greatly in Calvary's victory. We rejoice that redemption has come to us. We rejoice that pardon and forgiveness of sins has come. New life in Christ has come. Adoption into the family has come. No, it's not time to weep. It's time to think what God has done for us. It's time to think of His abundant grace that flowed toward us. Even although we were so undeserving, but abundant grace flowed towards us. And because abundant grace flowed towards us, abundant praise must flow from us to the Lord. Abundant giving of thanks. Thanksgiving and rejoicing must abound because grace abounded to us. They commanded them to testify their joy and put on the garments of praise instead of the garments of heaviness. Be at peace. Do not grieve. This day is a holy day. It's not a day of sadness. It's not a day of depression. It's not a time to cry. And a lot of the old writers say that on a wedding day, it's a time to rejoice. It's not time for the bridegroom to cry. It's a time to rejoice. There should not be weeping at a wedding. It's a day of joy and celebration. Nehemiah's congregation and Ezra's congregation understood this, and they went their way and they rejoiced greatly. They rejoiced greatly. In verse 12, we see that they were so happy that they sent portions to those that did not have, and they gave a share away. And really, perhaps this was another source of rejoicing, because whenever we obey and do what God says, part of the rejoicing is that we were able to do what God has instructed. And people never rejoice fully who do not obey God's ways. So they obeyed God's ways, and I think of the scripture, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered himself, and the one who is a blessing to others will be greatly enriched themselves, both in temporal and in spiritual blessings. So they gave away and they were enriched themselves. Let's just, before we move on, let's consider and look at the preacher's manner. Let's look at Ezra and the Levites, how they conducted their work, how they conducted their ministry. And we will learn some tremendous truths. Number one, they began by blessing the Lord. Nehemiah 8 and verse 6, and he was deeply conscious of the greatness of the occasion. He was conscious of the greatness of God and the greatness of the message and the great need of the people. And he was conscious of the great responsibility to speak the word of God. And so this is something that every minister must be conscious of. And they begin by blessing the Lord. And then, number two, they stuck to the book. They stuck to the book of the law of Moses. They read the book. They knew what the people needed to know. What the people need to know is the word of God. And it was not their thoughts, but the thoughts of God that were written in the book. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. We speak the Lord's thoughts. We speak his word. And then number three, they spoke distinctly. And there was no foolish attempt to water down and make the Bible more acceptable to the modern way of thinking. They spoke straight. They spoke clear. They spoke sharp. They spoke what the word of God said. And then number four, they explained the text. They explained the scripture. They read distinctly and they gave the sense. This was not a formal, heartless reading of the word. These men had studied the word and knew the word and spoke the word from their heart. They compared scripture with scripture. They knew what they were talking about. They were not just pulling an isolated scripture and giving it to the people. They were building a case and showing the people the real meaning of the word so that they could have a rich and a deep understanding. If we would do that today, the hearers would not be such foolish hearers if preachers were as faithful as Ezra was to the word of God. Number five was he enforced the truth. He caused them to understand, and his business was to make them understand what the mind of God was. It wasn't enough that they just heard it. They needed to understand and grasp what God expected of them. And not only these points are not only for preachers, but they, in a way, they can be used and useful to all of us who are hearing the word of God. I'll just go through it very quickly. And so we need to ask ourselves, is what is being preached God-honoring? Is the message God-honoring or man-honoring? Does it exalt God's greatness? Is what I'm hearing scriptural? Is it true to the whole general tenor of scripture? Or is it a verse taken, isolated out, twisted to say what the preacher wants it to say? Or does the whole of the Bible agree with it? And so we ask ourselves these questions when we're hearing the word of God. Is it clear? Is it right? Is it true? Is the preaching explained by the holy scriptures of God, using scripture compared with scripture? is the word that I'm hearing, is it wheat or is it chaff? Is what I'm hearing, does it have the possibility to produce eternal fruit, or is it only for the here and now? The word of God always produces both eternal fruit and fruit in the here and now. And the result of the people hearing this word, the result and the response to Ezra was they wept. Their hearts were moved. But not only did they weep, they rejoiced. And they understood the word. And because they understood, they rejoiced. And because they were then, what they had received, they ministered to others. And they sent portions unto them for those who had nothing prepared. Nehemiah 8:10. And they gladly did so. Gladly did so. Nehemiah 8:12. So when we receive from the Lord, we will gladly share that which we have received with others that have not. By the grace of God, we eat and we drink. We've received of the fatness of the Lord. We've received of the sweetness of the Lord. We rejoice in our salvation. But surely the love of Christ should compel us to remember those who are not saved, those that have nothing prepared, those that have no hope and no future. We must take portions of what we have, and freely we have received, and freely we must give. Give them the love of God, which has been so freely given to you. And they did this also day by day, from the first day until the last day. He read from the book of the law of God. And there's much that we can glean from that. We read daily from the book of the word of God. And they kept the fast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner, Nehemiah 8:18. So day by day, we stick with the word of God. Day by day, he's a reliable lamp unto our path. He's never changing. The word never changes, never falters. It's more precious than gold. So if we are to have a revival, true reformations and revivals of living faith have always involved people's minds and thoughts being directed to a particular portion of the truth. Some portion in the Word of God which we have lost sight of, that God restores back to us. Oh, may we be people who daily open the Word of God. Amen and amen.